Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
It's a Tuesday edition here on Zero Block 30, and today we have four rounds of the magazine. Round number one, the life of a farmer in Wales makes us all look like big old pussies. Round number two, the Air Force is not going to let folks have beards because they're being big old stick in the mud. Round number three, a helicopter took flight on the moon, and that headline has been going all over the place. It is bullshit. There's no helicopter on the moon. None. Not an Apache. Nothing. No Blackhawks, not a single swinging dick. It's a CH-53. It was a tiny little micro machine. Calling that a Wright Brothers moment is an abomination to the Lord. I'm fired up about this shit. A Wright Brothers moment? Are you kidding me, NASA? Are you kidding me? Round number four, a woman has shot breast milk out of her armpit. More like arm tit, if you ask me, folks. And all that's going to be brought to you by our good friends at 3Chi. If you're having trouble sleeping at night, 3Chi won't say that they'll help you sleep, but I will. They help you sleep. It helps me sleep. Helps me enjoy shows that I've seen a million times. By the way, you know what show is drastically underrated on Netflix?
Tell me.
New Girl.
Let's go. Yeah.
I watched that live when it was on Fox, I guess it was. Yeah,
but, like you were in a studio audience or something.
No. I watched it when it was like actually on, I didn't pick it up after the fact. But yeah, New Girl is fantastic. Schmidt and me are cut from the same cloth.
You are Schmidt, 124%.
Yeah. So that's I could do without the gummies. They got cookies, they got brownies, they got all kinds of stuff coming out. Make sure you already go to 3chi.com into the promo code ZBT2021. You're gonna get 5% off there. They have so much good stuff. They're coming out with new things every day. I was talking to somebody a couple of days ago, and they were telling me about something that they had from 3Chi, and they're like, have you had it? I had to fake the funk and act like I had. It was embarrassing because they hooked me up with a lot of stuff. They need to send those brownies and the cookies because I need to get down on that. We're going to get down with some new shows. We've got a new producer in the house. His name's Grit. We're going to introduce you to him just in a second. Here we go. I don't know if I'm going to keep pausing because we have the no music allowed rule now, like through Apple, because we're not allowed to have music because they're saying that it's copyright. Get over yourselves, dude. Nobody's playing Fortunate Son on the radio. Like, that's the most plays from this podcast.
We're keeping CCR and Diamonds and Furs with those plays. Seriously.
Right. Like YouTube, because I'm going to try to skirt the rules. I've been trying to find like a Fortunate Son on saxophone, Fortunate Son on bagpipes, but I don't know if it's going to come through, if that's still good. So we have 3Chi. I'm going to take some 3Chi after the show today, because yesterday I had a wonderful day. It's not something that I was telling the fellas that I was with. I went out with these dudes that it's called Chud's Pits, and they have like a restaurant in Austin, the food truck that they're doing. They have like all kinds of shit. We built a full out smoker in a day. These fellas have a 16 month long wait list.
Is that right?
16 months, man. Like they just really started over quarantine season, and they've been going at it. They do everything from this garage. I thought they were just having me over to their house just to like have barbecue and stuff. Turns out everything they do is in that garage. They had one guy that ordered a pit from California, a barbecue pit. This thing weighs 3,000 pounds. It is enormous, man. Like, it has this fold down stack where you can't even, like, if it didn't fold down, you wouldn't be able to fit in your garage. Some dude's flying from California to Texas to rent a vehicle, rent a trailer, and put it on there. Yesterday, we had, listen to this thing they cooked yesterday, 12 pork butts, a full thing of like dinosaur ribs, like beef barbecue ribs. They had two slabs of pork ribs. They had a tri-tip. They had goat ribs, goat chops, several chickens, all kinds of goat sausage for four people. That's what they're cooking.
Oh my goodness.
Four people.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, because they're like, we got to season this new pit. We want to do it with all this stuff. It was awesome, man. Like just sitting around and being around fire. I brought one of them home yesterday, brought the pit home yesterday. Gonna fire it up. Finally got the heater in my pool working. It's about to be a full out barbecue summer.
Yeah. Now, so I will say that the barbecue world is foreign to me. I appreciate it. I understand that everyone is very much dedicated to the art of it. And I understand all that, but I cannot fathom doing anything where I would fly to another state to rent a vehicle and drive it back to my home. What is it about this company, Chaps, that they're in such high demand? What makes
I think it's
special?
Just people like, I mean, like no offense to these guys or anything like that. Like they are great guys and the food that they make is incredible. But looking at their process, it's not that much different for us, for the pit that he has. There are some that they have that are very different that I haven't even seen that style before. But I think it's just like you can go get any tennis shoes, but you're going to pay $400 for certain kinds of Jordans. Like it's I think it's like a status symbol where people see you have this pit. But the crazy thing is, unless it's one of the square ones like I got, you would never know that it's one of these guys' pits. But I told him yesterday, I was like, if your name gets out there, you take this same pit and go to a place like Memphis in May or one of those huge barbecue competitions, and you'll have like just rich dudes that are rolling around just wanting some. Like load up a semi truck with like five or six of those that they made yesterday and sell them for $12,000. People buy them.
That can't be hard to make.
No, I welded yesterday.
So that should tell you something, because I don't know that you're an expert welder, are you?
I'm not.
I do remember reading on Twitter, you were like, it's so hard not to look at the arc.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like it's, there's certain like discipline that you're supposed to have, you know, like when certain types of loom rounds go off, you're not supposed to look at those things because they're super bright. I always did. Always.
Yeah.
If we would get it on the radio on my earpiece, like, hey, there's about to be an loom round going overhead. Like, oh, where's that at? I want to look directly into that thing. Not supposed to do that. Same thing with the welk ard or the arc of the welding. Every time I would walk outside, and be like, oh, that's pretty.
Just which way? I'm sorry. Again, I'm this is foreign to me. Which part is that? Like, is that the part that's like
the
actually
real
hitting?
Bright part at the end of it, where it's like almost like a blue light where it's super, super bright. And apparently if you stare and it's like staring in the sun, it could hurt your retina or cornea or something.
That makes sense. Really that makes sense.
But it's so cool, man, because there's all these awesome sparks that are going around it. So it's kind of like you've got that trade-off. Like, okay, I'll give you a percentage of my vision when I'm 80. Like, what am I going to be looking at? I'm going to know everything at that point.
Yeah, and then when I came home, I'm on the verge of making a huge mistake because I was like, I got to order one of these welding machines. I'll just figure this out on YouTube and start doing it myself. I'm going to burn my hand off. There's no shot I last my entire career at Barstool without losing a hand. Like now that I'm doing the toolie stuff, and if I do that, I'm losing a hand at some point.
Maybe not losing a hand, but there's going to be a significant injury. And knock on wood, I hope there isn't, but the chances are better
be
than
great
good
for
that
content,
they will.
Though.
That's true.
No, I actually just time stamped this right there so I can go back and delete it later when that eventually happens, just to help you out with the insurance money.
Imagine you're just there on camera and you're just gushing blood from your fingers like, oh, this can't be good.
No.
I think we need to go ahead and put this in my like contract right now that I have to post it. If it happens,
yeah, oh yeah,
because I might be along the lines of like, dude, I don't want to post it.
But I mean, like, if my hand gets jacked up, it's going up for sure. You got to make it worth it. That's a bunch of pages. People will definitely sign on to see.
Have you been close yet? Have you been close yet to actual physical harm?
The closest I got was a couple of weeks ago. I was standing on the top of my ladder, changing out in my new bedroom. The ceilings are like 12 feet, really high. So I was standing up at the top of this ladder, and the people that owned the house before, they didn't take good care of like making sure everything was done correctly. So when I unscrewed the cap of the ceiling fan, which is like a 60 inch ceiling fan,
they are rarely bolted in right,
and fell onto me, and like the glass shattered on my chest, and I'm like sitting there holding it at the top of the ladder, and it was just me and McCartney home, and McCartney wasn't tall enough to like grab it. So I essentially had to like roll off onto the bed like holding
broken glass.
Yeah, it was bad. I told my wife about it. She's like, you're a fucking idiot. I agree. Who's not an idiot is the fellow that we're going to talk about in round number one.
Wait, time out. Okay. We need a proper introduction. Who is this guy with us who's been talking for the last 10 minutes alongside of
us? So, in case you only follow the show on the show and you don't like do social media or anything like that, that voice that you hear is Grit. He is an Air Force veteran. He lives in Knoxville. Grit, tell him a little bit what you did in the Air Force.
9/11, signed up 9 days later, 17. The recruiter and their infinite wisdom. Man, EOD, here's this signing bonus, yada, yada, yada. All right, cool. I got that. I can handle that. EOD, you know, we're going to war. Let's go have some fun. I was turned 18 in boot camp. I'm a little bit of an idiot. Definitely not smart enough to be there. Failed out, washed out. They reclassed me as radio. In the Air Force, I don't know if it's the same in the other ones, but they'll reclass you into whatever is needed, like however you test. Like I had a buddy of mine who failed out of pararescue, who was, we were in the same area, and he joined the Air Force to get away from being a family electrician. Well, he tested really well as an electrician. He's now an electrician in the Air Force, you know, just because that's just what they do. Like, hey, you know, here you go.
But those, that's actually a job that's worth it because you get like the actual certs and stuff like that where you can get out and make a shit ton of money and do well.
He had a family business that they were all electricians. It mortified him. Electricity scared the absolute dog piss out of him. Dude, he was like, I think he might have actually ended up medical because he lost his mind like that. Like it was just, he wasn't ready for that. Electricity scared the dog piss out of him. And but anyways, yeah. So long story short, DC station there. You know, whatever. I'm out all the way out. Just did my minimal, grew the hair out, grew the beard out, said, fuck it. Let's go have some fun. But yeah, thank you. Thank you. Big fan. I sell lumber. I sell lumber, which I think we'll link in with the toolies and stuff like that. You know, bartended lumber's kind of been my thing for a while. It is what it is. I mean, they don't want to hear about me, man. You'll get to know about me eventually, but you know, it's
two things. Number one, I'm going to go out on a limb and say Grit is not your given name. So how did you get the name Grit?
Well, all right. So Grit Knox, even I was going to start a gym. I've got a buddy of mine, a cousin in he was in Orange County at the time. I was going to have Grit, you know, painted black walls, chains, loud music, squat racks everywhere. Not a treadmill in sight.
Nothing but listening to Drowning Pool.
Drowning Pool, just all that, like the whatever. Yeah, my cousin flips gyms, so he's got like a lineup on all the equipment we could possibly need. It was going to be Grit Knoxville,
got
Grit
it.
Orange County, Grit all these other cities. So I just kind of just took that, but it, like a lot of people do when they get scared and they don't actually start the business they want to do, they just turn it into a personal Twitter account and then it becomes your identity. And then you have to identify yourself as a gym teacher or something dumb for the rest of your life. And that's no offense to gym teachers, of course.
Yeah. No.
just
volunteer firefighters.
Just volunteer firefighters. Yeah.
And then secondly, is your beard, is that dyed?
Yeah. Oh yeah. God. Yeah. All right. So this is the second time I've dyed it. And I was kind of like, me and Chaps were going back and forth on some things and stuff like that. And I was listening to, what was the episode, but it was Dave Portnoy show. And he was talking about the lines of like when he was running his things in Miami and Malcolm in the Middle, like DM Gaz or one of the boys. And he said, hey, I want a job. And I remember being a kid watching Malcolm in the Middle as a kid. Mm-hmm. And Dave's like, what the fuck? Why, he's so goddamn old. Like, what is he going to get? What is he going to get for us? Like, he's nothing. And then I'm thinking, I'm like, damn, I can't compete with a guy who was a kid when I was a kid.
Beard hair, so you would be like Creed, where they thought they were going to force out the old folks. And you're like, what's up, fellow kids? What are we doing?
What's up, fellow youngs? Yeah.
So, yeah,
I mean,
little column A. He'll be involved with the social media, taking over for Kyle, who announced that he's going over to Task and Purpose, which you guys know if you listen that we use Task and Purpose stuff a lot. But we're going to hop into round number one today, and that comes to us from Wales. When stories like this start happening, I love it, man, because I just think these kind of people are going to be extinct one day. Like, they are not going to be around much longer. There's not going to be too many areas on the globe that you could do this type of thing. This fella is a sheep farmer from Wales. He wrote an op-ed, which a 72-year-old sheep farmer who's never left his town writing an op-ed in The Guardian, which The Guardian is a large online newspaper. It's a large print newspaper in certain parts of the world. That's a big newspaper for just some 72-year-old sheep farmer to get his first spot doing an op-ed. Good for him. But he said he's 72 years old. He said, "I'm a farmer and look after 71 sheep. My boyhood was spent helping my family on the farm, and I have never wanted to run away from it, even as a young lad. This valley is cut in the shape of a heart, and I once visited a farm in England about 30 years ago. That was the only time I ever left Wales."
That's crazy.
It's nuts. "Many of my friends I grew up with left to find work in the big cities, and as a young man, I was offered a job in Scotland on the oil rigs, but I could never leave. My heart belongs here with the birds and the trees. I knew if I left, I'd be thinking about my valley the whole time. So what would the point be then? All I want is right here. I have a routine, just like nature, that extends to what I've eat." Here we go. This is the reason why I had it. "I've had the same supper for 10 years, even on Christmas Day. Two pieces of fish, one big onion, an egg, baked beans, and biscuits. Cons, go ahead and tell me how you feel about having that meal three times a day for 10 years.
I mean, the smells that would
this
be coming out of his ends.
To high heaven. a full onion?
Yeah, between his breath and, you know, his flatulence, this is legitimately probably the worst smelling human in all of Wales. Possibly.
You legit every food except for biscuits. Biscuits are the only thing that doesn't stink. Fish, stinky. Onion, stinky. Egg, stinky. Baked beans. What are you doing?
I don't know. Like, it's stinky going in and coming out. It's stinky all the way around.
That's
it's
the reason why he's never been married. Like, because he stinks like shit.
Yeah.
I feel like they could mess a biscuit up also. Like I don't even respect the biscuit in this scenario. Like, I doubt there's some grace saving.
To get all the juice from the rest
of this stuff. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to sop it all up.
God, if he has a beard, he's just carrying that shit around all day.
He's a sweet-looking man. But he goes on to say, he does have different stuff for lunch. "For lunch, I have a pear, an orange, and four sandwiches with paste."
What is paste? What is paste? Like, legit,
I think it's like jelly.
Glue?
Oh, I thought it was super glue.
I think it's jelly.
But Billy Madison.
Some Elmer's.
"I will allow myself a little bit of variety if it's cold. Sometimes I'll have a soup. When I go to the supermarket, I know exactly what I want." That is beneficial. Like, the fact that you don't have to, because as a 72-year-old sheep farmer that lives in Wales and never left except for one time, you don't have a lot of time for ballyhoo. Like, you're not getting into a bunch of different shit. You know, you probably could just go ahead and be like, "Deliver this to me every week," and they could do it.
Yeah, and also in Wales, I don't know that the cuisine there is very diverse as it is. So it's not like he's really needing to branch out.
Yep. And he says, "I've never had Chinese, Indian, or French food. Why change? I've already found the food that I love. It would be a job for me to alter it. My brother, a bachelor and farmer like me, has had the same food for every meal. He had bread, butter, cheese, and teas for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, although he would bring out jam whenever he would have visitors. Whether it's Easter or Christmas Day, being a farmer means it's the same day every day. The animals still need to be fed. Feeding the sheep and seeing how happy they are make me happy. They never ask for anything different from supper." I don't want to talk shit about this guy. There's a good chance he fucks sheep, right?
I mean,
no.
Like, there's a good shot.
Mama told me when I was young, "Sit beside me, my only son. Blah, 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 simple man." I know he can't do songs and all that. This man's just simple. And he's enjoying the hell out of his life.
He's fucking sheep. He's never had like a real serious relationship. He's out there constantly talking about how he loves them. He doesn't want to go to London. He goes on later to say, he says, "My life is working outside and being with the sheep. Autumn is my favorite time of year with all the colors in the leaves. It's just beautiful. Cuckoos come here every April and I look forward to hearing them. A lot of people, locals and bird watchers, come here to hear the cuckoo, but they don't stay long enough. Sometimes they don't even leave their cars. This makes me feel so sad.
Because you smell like shit and you're fucking a sheep."
It pains me that others don't enjoy what I enjoy. I love this dude. This is a guy that I would definitely want to just sit down and be like, you never want to leave your area. Because for me, that was the appeal. Like, you have these little cards that whenever you go to, before you go to boot camp, of what appeals to you about the military. Worldwide travel was one of my biggest ones. I love traveling places. I can't imagine just wanting to stay in the same city all the time.
But you know what? That's not unique to this show. I mean, there's plenty of people.
Oh, no, for sure.
Who you're very content. And I think there's some sort of ridiculous percentage out there. Like 85% of people never live outside of like a 10-mile radius of where they grew up. It's kind of staggering that, you know, although I may end up somewhat close to where I grew up, you know, I did some things. I moved around a little bit.
You've been around. Yeah.
But I think when you're in an area close to New York City, that's drastically different because there's so many, you have the chance in New York to basically see any culture in the world you want to.
It's true. Yes. And experience a lot of different types of food if you really want to. It may not be 100% authentic, but it's pretty close. I doubt
that's happening on the sheep fields in Wales.
No, you probably
was this a family business? Was this a family business? You think he was guilted into never leaving at a young age?
Well, he was family business for sure. I could see being a farmer being so in your blood that you can't imagine doing anything else. I could see that for sure.
Your love of the animals almost would take over the love of yourself, I guess. Like, you know, like, why would I leave? Who would take care of that? And then you just kind of eventually convince yourself that you have all you need.
But in his interview, they asked him where else would he wanted to go. And he said, if I could go anywhere, it would be the Great Wall of China. The amount of work that went into that building is unbelievable. I've been a stonemason. I understand the ingenuity involved. To say that because you were a stonemason for a little while means that you understand the work that goes into the Great Wall of China, the only man-made thing you could see from fucking space, I'm not sure if I buy that.
Like, yeah.
You've laid some bricks before.
That's a little bit of a stretch. That's like me saying, because I was in some musicals in high schools, I know exactly what Lin-Manuel Manuel Miranda feels like.
When You'll get it.
Yeah, sorry about that. I got there. But, you know, yeah, that's nuts. But I understand the correlation he's making, but it's just a little bit. But you know what? You make those sorts of statements when you never leave the same place your entire life. You make outlandish statements that don't really resonate with the rest of the world because you're
all right. So I give you guys the opportunity. You can't leave 10 miles. 10 miles is the only spot you go. You can't go to a state that you currently lived in or you've lived in the past. Where are you going? Cons, we'll start with you.
Wow. So I can't, you know, you're eliminating some really good states for me. I mean, you're eliminating Texas. You're eliminating New York, New Jersey. You know, I think I'd probably go, gosh, I can only go 10 miles from the city that I live in.
10 miles from your house.
Damn, that eliminates a lot of the nice things I like to do. Shoot. I guess my gut is telling me go to San Diego just because it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous there all the time.
Yeah, mine's Waikiki.
Yeah, I've been to Hawaii though. Well, I have. Well, I didn't live in Hawaii.
You didn't live there.
Yeah, and you've been there, chap. So you can't count that.
No, you just can't live there. You get a
visit. Oh, you can't live there. Oh, okay. Damn, yeah, because I was going to roll out a lot of things. I was thinking like Scottsdale if it's somewhere that I've never been, because I do need the mountains, but I would like the beach. Won't take San Diego because he's done that. So San Francisco is nice, but it's cold. I need my hills, and let's go Scottsdale. I love Arizona. That just looks like a beautiful place.
Yeah. Biz Nasty always says that Scottsdale is like the best city in the United States for like 6 months of the year. And the other 6 months, it's so hot that it's miserable. Kind of San Antonio, I think. That's basically what it's like here.
Some places suck year round. So if you get 50%, that's not bad at all.
You know what I would say? I might switch my answer here.
And here's why. Then I'm taking yours. If you switch, I'm taking yours.
You can take San Diego if I leave it. So
I take the whale's vagina.
If I do San Diego, that means I'm giving up snowboarding for the rest of my life. And I like snow sports. I think if I choose Salt Lake City, I could still get the snow sports, but also it's you know, kind of nice there in the spring and summer as well. It's warm enough that I could do outdoor activities like play golf. I think I'll take Salt Lake City.
You'd struggle there. All you can get is beers with 3.2% alcohol or lower.
I feel like everything closes at 5 o'clock.
I've been there a lot.
Salt Lake City is beautiful. That is
it?
That awesome. Is nice.
Can I ask a really stupid question?
If you're going to go that route, though, like Aspen would be great, too.
Ooh, yeah. But I don't know. The French are assholes.
It's very true.
Nice.
They are.
Very nice. Very nice. Very nice.
If you want to get hard and put it in somebody's asshole, you could do that with our good friends at Roman Swipes. Roman Swipes are a clinically proven way to last longer in bed. They're effective, easy to use, and fast acting, and don't require a prescription. Roman can send you swipes directly in a discreet, unmarked package, and each of the packet is small enough to stick in your wallet, inside your front vest pocket, or inside your pocketbook before you set it down to dance with your girlfriends. They're super easy to use. Just take it out of your pocket, swipe it on that cock of yours, and dry it, and you're good to go. That's all you need. Go to GetRoman.com/zero. You can get your first month of swipes for $5 when you choose the monthly plan. That's GetRoman.com/zero. Round number two, some airmen. You're not going to get away with having beards, even, well, unless you have a medical or religious waiver. The Air Force Chief of Staff Charles C.Q. Brown and Chief Master Sergeant of the Air Force Joanne Bass made it clear in a Facebook live chat. She said, "I'm not inclined to change it right now because how the I'm not inclined to change the way that the mustache regs or beards are written right now." Even though the women just had theirs changed, she said she doesn't give a shit about that. There is an actual medical reason that they changed the women's regs, and that allowed for braids and ponytails and bangs because they were people like legit. I didn't know this, and we don't talk about it a lot. Women, there was a big portion of women who were polled that have long-term amounts of hair loss because of the way that they have to tie their hair. Like so many veteran women, their hair never grew back.
Yeah, I feel like Kate's mentioned something similar to that, but just because of how tight they have to pull their hair every day.
I didn't know it was as widespread. I knew it was like onesies and twosies. And I've seen like different, like when I would go inspect different like locker rooms or like the women's head whenever we were going through, you would see huge clumps of hair in there. I just thought that's like what happened with ladies. But apparently it's because you pull your hair so tight every damn day, you have migraines and stuff from it.
Oh, that sounds uncomfortable.
Extremely uncomfortable.
Can't do that with beards though. So people wanted to have it because the long excuse has always been you need it for gas mask.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. And I'm sorry, when was the last time we experienced any sort of NBC threat in the military?
And the bizarre thing about it is that grooming standards get relaxed in combat zones where you're more likely to need the gas mask.
Yeah, it's well, just the control. Here's a thought too. Who in our military currently is allowed to have much more relaxed is our special operators, right?
You're right.
Stands the reason that they're going to be exposed to a wider array of enemies that they would be the ones that would need to be prepared for a wide array of weaponry, such as chemical warfare. Yet they're allowed to have beards when they're downrange.
That was one of my favorite things about being with recon is they're like, yeah, you could grow out whatever. And I had the patchiest beard in the world at the time. And I was like, hell yeah.
But that thing was yours.
When you had a colonel that would come in and then you had to shave and you're out in the field and you had like 2 weeks worth of growth and you have to shave with cold water and a dull ass razor that like eight other people have also used. That shit was terrible.
Yeah. I tell you what, this reminds me of like my actual like dream job, like what I always wanted. And I'll get the acronym wrong because it's been a while, but it's JPEC, MIA, POW, Account and Command. Mm-hmm. They would go out and they would go in like Laos, Cambodia, Vietnam, all that. And they would look for, I've heard this, I don't know, but correct me if I'm wrong, but peanut plants, because a lot of times like they could find a body under a peanut plant because it was non-typical to those areas. Mm-hmm. And they would be out and they would be grungy, bearded up, just whatever. And then they find one of ours and then they start a repatriation mission and then they all shave and they all go dress blues and they all go saw. And like my radio station that we did in DC, like we controlled around the world, HF radio, the only thing that survived after 9/11, because it was non-dedicated. Mm. So they would get their own channel, their own frequency, everything. And we had constant surveillance. They would bring them back. And it was a full, like straight into DC. It was beautiful. Like, and this man might not have any living family members, anybody that ever knew him. Don't matter. They come back looking like the regs ready. Like they're ready.
Yeah. I got the chance to meet one of the director that when I went to the VFW, I think you were there too, Cons. Maybe not. Maybe it was in DC with just Kate. But we got to meet with the guy who runs that department, and what they go through and like the level of detail is just insane. Like he was telling us about it, that they'll go in and they'll, if they find one bone, they'll stick around until they find the rest of them.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Admirable. That's very
I just chills, like just thinking about that. Like you're out there, like, and like imagining like what it was like then and like what you're doing for people. There's not a better, there can't be a better feeling in this world.
No.
Go ahead. No. I was going to continue on with something that kind of struck me here by the chief master sergeant, and it's a want versus need conversation. It's the women. Mm-hmm. It's a need at this point for health, as you mentioned, their hair are falling out. Whereas with men, it's strictly just been a want, you know, because guys like to, one, not have to shave every day, as it can be a nuisance for some people. And two, some guys just like the way, you know, their beard can grow out and look. So I don't know that you'll ever overcome that argument.
What if they said, what if they change it? I think this would make every enlisted dude happy. If you said, we're not going to relax it totally, but we are going to relax it for morning PT. You could come to morning PT unshaven, and then by the time you get into your camis and you're ready for the actual work day, you have to be shaved for the day. Yeah. I think people would love that.
Yeah, that works too, because think about it. Even the guys who have the thickest of beards, who get a real bad 5 o'clock shadow, even them, you know, they're shaving by PT the next morning. It doesn't look so ridiculous that it would be egregious. So I think you could make that happen and it would be reasonable to do.
Because that, I mean, if for us, we used to start PT at 4:30 or 5. So oof. If we, then you got to, like, if you live 20, 30 minutes away, you're getting up at 3:30 to start your day. Like, mm-hmm. That shit sucks, man. That's the worst.
Mm-hmm. So,
but then you would get people, like, if you actually allow it to that point, then you would get the people who would kind of overdo it. Like, we would have people that would go as far. Now, I had a waiver. My hair is so thick, like, so dummy thick. It will grow under my skin and push my skin out. Like, it's bad. Like, I have to have a beard. And I got an 1/8 inch, and it was always an 1/8 inch. And I would have people all the time, just like whatever they'd come up. It was basically basic procedure. If it was somebody that outranked me that I didn't know, I'd present my card respectfully and like whatever. And then they hate me and then move on about their day.
Oh yeah. But, it doesn't matter if it's a medical thing. You're not unshaved. You look nasty.
Like say you got PT coming up before a long weekend or a holiday weekend, or you're going back on leave, going back home and you want to look cool. Do your little douchebag chin strap, like zip, zip, zip. Like I used to do. Dude, like, you're going to extend it. They're going to try to do more than what they could do. They're not going to shave the day before. And it's just, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It can get weird.
Yeah, and these other countries in NATO, like Canada, Germany, Denmark, they don't have it. And those Italian dudes, those hot dudes in Italy, man, they make me want to change. Because you would, if you had the ability to go in camis and you're in shape and your sleeves are looking tight and mm-hmm. your arms are looking, and you have a little bit of a beard, you'd be getting your bones jumped.
Let's talk about this too. The intimidation factor. You go into battle rocking a strong beard.
Mm-hmm.
That's a difference maker.
Vikings did it for a reason.
Right. So, hey, let's think outside the box here, Air Force and the military at large.
Now,
and
what if the Air Force wanted to change their overall like persona in the United States? If you changed that, you gave the Air Force beards and was like, look, you guys can also bring hatchets. Like you issue everybody hatchets and beards, the Air Force's rep changes in a heartbeat.
Yeah. And you like have to always have your hatchet with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like anywhere.
The Air Force needs that more than any of us do too. So,
yep. We also need the Space Force get? Helicopter that takes flight if NASA's going to tout all that. And round number 3, NASA's experimental helicopter Ingenuity rose into the thin air of the dusty red surface of Mars on Monday, achieving the first powered flight by an aircraft on another planet. The triumph was hailed as a Wright Brothers moment. The mini Wright Brothers moment. The mini 4-pound copter carried a bit of a wing fabric from the Wright Flyer that made similar history at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina in 1903. But this hop was just 39 seconds and 10 feet, but accomplished all the major milestones. We're talking so long about the Wright Brothers moment, and here it is, said the project manager. She offering a virtual hug to her socially distanced colleagues in the control room. Why? Like, why say that? Why do you have to say socially distanced because of the coronavirus pandemic? We understand. Can we just have a story about a helicopter on Mars where we don't talk about fucking coronavirus.
Yeah, there's no need to tie the coronavirus into every darn story. That's
we get it. These people are intelligent. They are socially distanced. Flight controllers at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in California declare the successful mission after data and images via the Perseverance rover. Ingenuity hitched a ride to Mars Perseverance, clinging to the rover's belly when it touched down on the ancient River Delta in February. Purported River Delta. We don't know that for sure, right, Cons?
That's correct. We can't confirm these things. Sure. Don't be telling nor me deny, things that we can't nor deny. Confirm.
This little 4-pound helicopter, $85 million demonstration.
That's what I want to say. Yeah, dumb. And just so they could attach part of the Wright brothers' sail, stupid.
Scientists cheered the news from around the world, even from space, and the White House offered its congratulations. A whole new way to explore the alien terrain. And our solar system is now at our disposal. The first test flight with more to come by the Ingenuity holds great promise, Brown noted. Future helicopters could serve as otherworldly scouts for rovers and eventually astronauts in difficult and dangerous places. Ground controllers had to wait more than 3 excruciating hours before learning the pre-programmed flight has exceeded 178 million miles away. The first attempt had been delayed a week because of a software error. And the news finally came, the operations center filled with applause, cheers, and laughter. More followed when the first black and white photo from the Ingenuity appeared, showing the helicopter shadow as it hovered over the surface of Mars. The shadow of greatness. First flight on another world is complete, said astronaut Victor Glover. Nothing about what happens to your cum in space, curiously enough. They didn't mention that in this little report, which is disappointing.
And that would have cost absolutely like a lot less than $89 million to do that. I think, all right, one of two things. Either one, they knew there were aliens there and they were watching. They wanted to say like, all right, we got to do something really stupid so they don't come attack us. And let's do something. Well, damn, they thought that was cool. All right, we'll deal with them in a couple thousand years. They're all right. They're not ready to be a problem. Or they actually had something really good on it, but they said, we got to throw a stupid story in it and like make it sound like we did this for $89 million. And then they'll just quit questioning it. But then we've got like a nuke on Mars or something crazy. Yeah. Walt Disney's head.
Listen, I think what NASA has accomplished in the last 60 plus years, whenever NASA was founded is unbelievable. The feats of science.
Oh, I thought you were going to say technology. Minimal. That's what I feel. I feel like, since we've been to the moon, it's not a lot to hang their hats on.
All right, maybe so. Maybe so.
We almost got our second Dumb and Dumber reference of the episode, and I'm a little disappointed.
You can't, NASA, listen, hold yourselves to a higher standard. You cannot go around claiming you had a helicopter on Mars. You had a drone at best. People hear the word helicopter.
You had a micro machine.
Yes.
Get that fast guy to read this article. That's all we need.
Seriously, this is pretty cool. They got it to fly on Mars. That's great, but
there's less gravity there. It's not as impressive here.
If there's a bigger dildo than what you're flying, I'm not impressed. 19 inches across, that's a big dildo in Las Vegas.
In actuality, I don't know if is there wind on Mars. They could have fashioned this thing so that just a strong wind gust took it up in the air for 30 seconds.
It's a four-leg chopper. Its fuselage is what they're calling it. It's all batteries, heat sensors, and it's the size of a tissue box.
That's not a helicopter, Chaps. I've been on helicopters. I'm sure you guys have too. No, that's not a helicopter.
Was the Mars rover a tank?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that is a tank.
That's actually true.
Yeah. So they said that it was able to withstand the minus 130 degree Fahrenheit. That's pretty good because usually batteries freeze up. So they got some pretty good batteries on Mars. I am happy with that.
$89 million.
In case it gets another snowstorm here in San Antonio, maybe I can actually keep power. I don't care about this. Whenever you fly something that a person can go in, that's when it's a helicopter. Until then, it's just a remote control car. You flew a remote control car on Mars. Cool.
Yeah. And you know what? You want to start doing things better, NASA? Anytime that has anything to do with Mars, if you have Matt Damon, the only confirmed man who survived on Mars, make the announcement. I'll automatically have that much more respect for you.
I'm so much more impressed that Matt Damon made poop potatoes enough to last almost a year than this person who flew a micro machine on Mars. That potatoes probably cost like $10.
probably
compared to 89 million.
Yeah. So not only is he more, does have more ingenuity, he's a frugal gentleman who's saving the American taxpayer a lot of money.
I wish we could opt out in certain things and taxes too. That would be nice. Like if you were like, I don't want any of my money going to fucking NASA. Cause I would do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah. I would probably do the same.
Department of Education's fucked. I want my money out of the Department of Education. I don't really care a whole lot about the energy like that. Like once I found out that was all basically nuclear weapons and stuff, we got enough. When you have like 7,000 nuclear weapons, that's plenty.
Mm-hmm. In the Air Force, and it's probably the same for a lot of places, but you get an actual like a dream sheet. I think they need to do that with taxes, to where they have all the different things that your state does or whatever. And then it's like, all right, you pick eight, pick two of them that are overseas and like shithole spots or something like that. And then those would be like the major majority, like the infrastructure and stuff like that. Might be onto something. I think we just solved the government.
I want to withhold all my taxes from Texas until they start selling beer on Sunday mornings.
I totally forgot that was even a thing. I totally forgot that you couldn't get beer on Sundays.
I don't think Sunday mornings, I don't think you can here.
Yeah, there's a lot of places in the South where you can't get it before noon.
We just now started to where you can buy liquor on Sunday at all.
But with one mother in round four, she has something that you can get on Sunday morning, and that's boob milk from her armpit. A breastfeeding mother has revealed that she's able to shoot milk out of her armpit. The woman not only explained the bizarre thing that happened to her body, but also demonstrated how she did it. In a jaw-dropping video on TikTok that had already garnered millions of views, she showed her talents. The video reportedly was made in response to a viral post asking TikTokers to share their weird things. Following the video, the mother of three from Minnesota gave a brief explanation of why she was able to shoot breast milk out of her armpit. As odd as the phenomenon may seem, it's not unusual, which should surprise no one who has ever confused them by doing something unexpected while pregnant or breastfeeding. This woman, if you haven't seen the video, she legitimately takes her arm, puts it up in the air, takes a big old hunk of her armpit and squeezes it, and you could see the milk fly out from her armpit and straight into the camera. And she says it happened, like, I guess like you have some mammary glands in there. How does it just seep through?
Through the pores, maybe?
Through the pores, but it comes out with some force. She's got to have a secret nipple.
Aren't there nipples other places on the body?
Oh yeah, PFT sometimes? I think PFT has three or four nipples.
Right.
Mark Wahlberg.
So, yeah, so I mean, this is possible.
Okay, this is going to sound like insensitive or whatever, but it's science. Did she have like small breasts, like to where like the mammaries might have like pushed back further?
I don't know. And like she's wearing a regular shirt in the video, so I don't know if she's stacked or flat or what, but she definitely has some milk in her titties.
Yeah.
And there's been other people that showed that like linked to it where they would have like balls, like almost like golf ball size engorgement in their armpits, and they're like, oh yeah, I have it too. Because once you say one thing on the internet, like you keep it all to yourself, then once one person on like a social media site is like, oh, I have this, somebody else that had that, because even if it's a 1 in 1 million, 1 in 5 million, the odds are with 60 billion people or whatever on fucking TikTok, somebody else is gonna have that weird thing too.
Yeah, and then they feel comfortable sharing. So that makes sense.
Which I never would. I don't know.
I would never. Should they feel comfortable like sharing?
Well, when you're no longer alone, so to speak, then you are more willing to speak up, I think.
Yeah. And I if I had titty milk, I'd be spraying it on everybody.
The armpit, though? I could see frontal, like actually like a good range of motion. Like you actually know where you're going. But from the side, like what's that accomplish? You know,
it's amazing what the human body can do.
Well, speaking of mothers, I have an important question to pose.
Mm-hmm.
It was posted on social media today by Barstool's first mother, our own Catherine. She posted the picture of her son on one of those blankets that says, how old he is. What are your thoughts?
I go back. We did it too with McCartney. I think of the way that Kate is doing it, it is smart, because typically it's a pain in the ass when you have a specific onesie or an outfit that you have to get them changed in every time. Then it becomes like a chore. This blanket she has just is like 1 through 12 with a ring that she has to put on it. So that makes it a whole lot easier to accomplish every month. But now it is cute when it comes up on like my on this day or like the time hop stuff and you see it. So I could see that it will be valuable to her in like 5 or 6 years.
So she can take the picture and just keep it to herself though.
No, because there's no point in doing that.
Yeah, why would you do that?
Why would you only take pictures for yourself?
I wish, and like maybe this is just, it's only an issue for 1 month, but do something with the damn S. Like I almost Photoshopped the S out. Like it's 1 month's, like the baby was 1 month's old today. And that bugged the hell out of me, but you know, but yeah, no. So we've done the things like to where the same picture frame, I've got two little girls, a 5-year-old and a 1.5-year-old. And so each month you put a different picture in there. They don't get done until the baby's about 3. And it's a pain in the actual active ass. And I would never put that on anybody. But yeah, a little mat, you could just roll up somewhere.
Different onesie for every month. And that's a pain in the ass. It's not a pain in the ass whenever you set up Simply Safe, which part of your house feels a little less secure than you might want. Maybe it's the front door. Maybe it's the windows. Maybe it's the French door. For me, it used to be the old pool house, but we got Simply Safe camera down there and I never have to worry about it because I could just sign on and look at what's going on down there. Now there's no time day or night where I have to worry because I know my house is always being guarded. Even if you feel safe, you might not be true for everyone in your home. If you've never had a conversation about it, it's honestly not a bad idea to do. It feels good just to be able to press the home button on my Simply Safe keypad and to hear the bass say alarm on. And when you know nobody else is going to try to come in, because you could put it out front too. They have a little sticker that you get, you put on there, so the burglars and the bad people, they know that you got your home protected. Protect yourself by going to simplysafe.com/CBT. The system arrives in about 7 days. It's usually faster than that. And then it takes about 30 minutes to set up, usually faster than that too, if you have any kind of technical skill. I've done it myself. It's super easy. It only took me like 10 minutes because I'm smart. Go to simplysafe.com/CBT today and customize your system and get a free security camera. You can also get a 60-day risk-free trial, so there's nothing to lose. That's simplysafe.com/CBT. Let's move into a little bit of save rounds and alibis. Grit, we'll start with you.
I'm just glad I didn't like totally knock on wood. I didn't want to say that. I've not ruined everything yet. So that's all I got.
There's still time.
There's still plenty of time. Yeah, there's still time. Just so far.
Cons?
Yeah. So I care entirely too much about the online world. And recently, I think it happened yesterday, where I had all of a sudden, I was following, you know, give or take 1,000 people on Twitter. And then all of a sudden about 500-600 people just disappeared. And it's not even just random people either. It's a bunch of our colleagues at Barstool. And now I have to, I don't know if they're just going to randomly come back. At one point, like I wasn't following Kate and I don't understand how that happened. I understand Twitter has problems all the time, but now I feel like a jerk. I'm like slowly but surely like refollowing people, but I'm wondering if they're all just going to magically reappear again because Twitter's going to fix something. And this is just a really long-winded look into my brain to say that I'm just a little deranged because I care too much about this. And
oh, I'd be secretly happy. I'd be like, oh, sorry, no.
Yeah, no, I would totally use that as an excuse. Like I would actually start unfollowing a lot more people and then just really do a timeline cleanse. And then yeah, the people you want, bring it back.
But the people I there's a lot of things I follow just like for like sports that I don't know off the top of my head and I won't remember unless I really go through something or other. I don't know. And I, you know, curated a timeline that at least I enjoyed. So I don't know. It's just a little annoying. And I really do for all these people that I follow that, you know, a lot of them never even met in person. I somehow feel bad about that. And I feel like a jerk and I'm sorry. So hopefully,
I would never feel bad about that at all. When I get a new phone, I don't even add all of the phone numbers in. I just kind of wait for people to text me. And if I recognize their phone number, then I save it. And otherwise, it's just like a cleanse.
Dude, when was the last time you recognized anybody's phone number?
Oh, like chats,
you put.
Well, we did that for 5 minutes today. It comes in like a group, like the ZBT group chat or whatever. That'll be it. And then there's certain phone numbers that I've had forever that like, I guess like stay in the Apple stuff, but I don't ever like update it before a new phone. It's essentially the same people I've had in my phone for like 5 years.
Right. Okay. Cause you could probably put 4 phone numbers in front of me right now. One of them being yours, just random phone numbers. I don't know that I could pick out your phone number.
I know you're 908 because one reason is and Feidelberg is the only person, other person that I know that does this. I don't save numbers on my computer. So I see the number a lot whenever like it pops in. So I'll be like, oh, the 908, that's Con. So I know, I know that one.
Got it. Okay.
Yep. I don't really have any save rounds either. I'm excited to get back into the barbecue game with this new Chud Pit that I got. I'm excited to see how that goes. Finally got my hot tub fixed up. Feel like I almost every box of moving in is away now. And that
ooh, that's feels a good
like
feeling.
Yeah, dude. And it's just taking so long to get there. And look at it. I'll show off last, like over here. I let my kids in my office to watch some movies while
that's
not, was in Austin yesterday.
Look, that's unsat. That's unsat.
Look at these fucking jerks.
They might as well just took a big old shit on that couch.
Xbox and you treat it like I'm gonna have these motherfuckers online field day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here. It's gonna be field day time.
Hey, yeah. What is what's the first thing you're gonna cook in that smoker?
They were asking me that yesterday. I'm a huge fan of cooking. I love smoked turkey. Like a low and slow turkey is delicious. But I asked wifey likes that. But I asked the beef ribs that we had and beef cheeks that we had yesterday was so good. And I had never had goat chops before. Have you ever had goat chops?
No, I saw it on your Instagram story though, and I was interested.
Fuck, man. It was like they just did it very traditional Texas style, post oak, as the wood fuel, salt and pepper, and then just let it cook till it was medium rare.
Well, that would cook pretty fast too.
So what's that?
It would cook pretty fast as well. Does goat cook fast?
Oh yeah. Like it was like 30 minutes. It was nothing. Yeah. And goat is the most sustainable protein on earth.
Yeah. Huh?
Yep. It's the best one.
I just said, yeah. Like I knew, like I was in the zone on that.
There's a international food market by my house and I would almost bet if they have halal food that they would have some goat there. I'm going to start picking that up because that shit was. And then we got a goat sausage that they did. I have that for dinner tonight. It's going to be incredible.
Very nice. Very
excited about that. Right. We'll see. Maybe Kate will stop in on Friday's show. I said at the end of last show that we weren't going to have two shows a week. I lied. We're going to have two shows a week for the foreseeable future. So don't worry about that to all the Booger Platoon. And one thing about Grit, he's a big time gambling guy. So we're going to have even better Booger Platoon bets on Wednesday. Make sure you're paying attention to our social media channels at Zero Blog 30 on Instagram and Twitter for that. Until then, we'll see you guys on Friday. Sound the retreat.